Therefore, we have the explanations about the two truths. The conventional truth, which is to say that things have some existence. When we don't do any kind of analysis into how they exist and so forth, but just taking the things function for us, we talk about the conventional truth. And then when we actually look at the reality, how things exist, and not just be satisfied with the appearance, but going into the reality of how things are, finally, then we come to the conclusion of saying that things have no objective existence, and then therefore we establish the ultimate truth and emptiness and or selflessness and so forth. And so what happens is because of ignorance, now this we accept the appearance and so forth, and then on the basis of ignorance about the true nature of things, and we cling to some kind of a true existence in things, some kind of independent or true existence in things, and that because of that we had we experience attachment, aversion and so forth, and accordingly because of these we create karmas. And so karmas ensue from this the attachment and aversion, which in turn are rooted in ignorance. And and then in verse number 4 it says, and therefore what we need to do is to go beyond this ignorance, which is clinging on to some true existence and things. And therefore in verse number 4 it says, one is not freed by existence, one does not transcend samsara through non-existence. And so what this shows is that we need to be to go beyond the two extremes. And in the Madhyamaka view, particularly from the point of view of Madhyamaka view, we need to understand the two extremes of existence and non-existence, referring to the view of permanence or eternity and the view of nihilism. And now when we try to establish true existence or ultimate reality, we should not just be satisfied with reasonings to prove ultimate existence or emptiness by using and through the reasons of what are known as the lack of one and many or other reasonings, but the final reason that all these different reasonings boil down to is because things are dependently originated. And so dependent origination becomes the main reason to prove that things are free, that things are empty of inherent or true existence, and therefore things are merely free from the two extremes of nihilism and eternalism. And therefore through the through this reasoning, when you understand that things are dependent, it helps us to accumulate merit. And then when you, because things are dependently originated, when you conclude that they have no inherent existence, it helps you to collect the wisdom and accumulate wisdom. So these two actually help us. The reasoning itself helps us to overcome the nihilism, and then the understanding that we draw from it, the conclusion that we draw from it, helps us to do away with the eternalism. And Maharshi Nagarjuna says that whatever arises through dependence is said to be empty, and they are said to be designated, and therefore And that is the middle way.
Tadi dōbzhā sī dōzhāni bēr bēr dōshē in chāgā dā shāshā gōrō dā yāng nā mīg yū dāng chē sā dā mīg yīng sā sā wā nā shī chī kīmā dā chī āsikī mī dō bā
So verse number 5 says those who do not see ultimate reality grasp at samsara and nirvana, but those who see ultimate reality possess no pretensions of worlds and his transcendence. So regarding this verse, the root text itself is quite tough, and the commentary by Chandrakirti also is very difficult to understand, very tough. And then me, having not much time to go through the text and study it carefully, cannot give very detailed explanation, so it would be like what I explain sometimes these verses would be like an old person eating food where he or she is not able to chew well, but sometimes just gulping, and sometimes just chew rather roughly and then gulping.
Nyangde zanshimuri, nyangde thubo sanje shumdende, zanshimuri, kevyu zanshimuri, rindi yini, tenpa sanje shumdende, ngayangzu loli ya, tenpar nawa nanshi, dindru dun zimbe thawne, eni sanje da kevshu shiwa yina. Rwa, dindru ki taiba diye, dindzin da nyamdo dhote nga chegi. Pheze pheze da dindzin, da dindru ki be taiba le, Kana ningjiliya nyumujeng ningjisa yare. Chezanga nyumu ningjiliya nyumujeng ningjiya banashi tabale nyumujeng gi taba taji yungure. Hamdu di ngodo jeng gyalo so la chakwa chasa jiba. Gyawa so dambar zimbe tone ani ji ge tada tada be ngobor de yor lo zuli dinzi chomu de de be ji ya tzi jong yi. So, the name of the name is Jigia, Kaso, Sambuji, Sambur, Kazmuji, Sambuji, Sambur, Ten, Yundu, Kodaria, Menshinkin, that Tenzing, Zimba, Athetic, Len, Yonda, Jigi, yes, that is the Tini Maton, Jigenda, Yangan, the Lonesome Day, Tini Singam, Jigenda, Yangan, the Lonesome Miss. Yinu Shiva Jigi, Jigi, any? Bangja Kwada, Topsan Yangde, Slava Yinaya, Telaya, Sambur, 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 Dugi already, in it, Tel Munshi meeting. La Daganashin Yambang Yambal Dugri, Penokoa, Dungig and Shil, Tungri, in it, Telaya, Chig Piggy Dinzing, Attack and Zibati, Medevichi. Kwada Yangde, Change Tamja Law, Namadadu, Dumeva, Nayam Midimba, Zumba. Gimoto wo tome kwane, ane lalin che yindu zane, kwe yini, otati, gyun di yidi mewache, kwa langdo geji di yuwache. Anza langdo, ta lakura tuye, tongpa nyigi tuye, chik kwa shi cha. Oda yini, tongyi tome lo degi, denzin lo nyugi yuwache kwa shi cha. Yini, denzin simgu rengshin lo shuk mewa degi kwa shi cha yindu zane, tarpa siyaji, dende yuwasa yuwasa mucha chayangduwa. Tarwasayaji dende yosari samaji tenyudu zane, eni taba tenyigir lodi, da tarwasayaji sosu dhumu dhumadu, sosu shigin di tenne, yongya yabajik sangliya, gorojik pege, chawasu, chumurju kanyudu zane, eni taba tenyigir lodi, kazam, chikzam imbarajik lodi, ligir lodi. So, dindi yindu, ganda yini, dungyi tonye, taba tenyigir lodi, shukcheru, beza denbu shukchita yongdaya. Jazan wa dindi yindu zane, Nde men dwa sam chansu. Tini sing nung jikden tang nyangan dabo longsum mes. Ta siba tani nyangan de nyibudin yu yama yinsi. Siba tani nyangan de nyiga lo ngandu lo la nangwa nang shingi tuandini dhubya ma resi. Di tingzung dayo sam resi. Ta siba yonsu siba ni nyangan de si chawar chusi. Siba kwa be dungen jen tindir di Pa taksi jena, eni ngoni yi dhu me dengi. Tantam jeshi gilu jenyo na, gyawa me, gagwa me, neba me, siva siya jik, dhugdhugsa me dhebe jik chayangu loko. Nangzam teyi ma simba pa taksi jeni, 在印度上呢，真正最近个两个了，特困难呢，希望五年级这边当中的老了些个人嘛多，希望老了些么多啊，确实个那话弄住了，确实地区呢都没有印度上呢，去年出来两个了，确实卡住了的，在这里印度上呢，希望永续希望呢，两个都是超了确实，啊，这里边的希望人心，人心当印度上呢，人心一当的。人心两代是个要的啦，真正代表人心没把这邪别当，邪别人心没把邪别落地给，邪别造啊，真正落我是那边观念，那呢，两代我都下用过的是，大概那两代是谁呢？当他家两代，他们两代，那闽南边两代，第一代两代用下个什么路口，人心两代刚土地高了哇，这真的印度两个代是差了，确实真的差差我们着，
Verse number 5. So he said those who do not see the ultimate reality grasp at samsara and nirvana. So what this indicates is that when we, as Buddhists, when we talk about nirvana, and then also someone who has attained nirvana, like a Buddha, and considering the Buddha to be sacred, what we have, what we do is we kind of cling to some kind of a true existence in the Buddha, and then accordingly with that kind of sense of true existence of a Buddha, we take refuge in the Buddha. And so, and when we do that, what happens is, although we keep our faith in the Buddha in this way, but that faith becomes afflicted faith, as we say. And just as in certain texts like the Maitreya's Abhisamaya Alamkara, there is mention of sometimes a compassion that you have towards sentient beings being afflicted as well. And so what happens here is when you actually have an exaggerated way of seeing and the Buddha and having faith in them, then they become afflicted, and similar as just as compassion can become similar. And then yesterday also we talked about, the other day we also talked about, you know, when we see something beautiful, we try to say, I'm trying to see something which has some beauty in it and so forth. We talked about that, kind of just trying to justify and what is wrong in seeing something beautiful as beautiful and so forth. And so, of course, there is a beauty out there. There is something which is not beautiful and beautiful and so forth. But when we actually see these things, we actually cling on to some objectively existent beauty and ugliness or unattractiveness in things, and then accordingly we actually obsess with things, and so there's attachment and so forth, and therefore it is similarly when we talk about what to overcome with the negative emotions and so forth, and particularly this clinging to true existence in things, and when we talk about what needs to be overcome and what are to be attained, we also think in terms of how they have some objective existence. We get this idea of objectively existing things to be overcome and things to be attained and so forth, and there is this strong clinging and to true existence and things, some kind of a real existence, true existence in the objects. And so what we need to do is try to see everything, whether they are to be things to be overcome, to get rid of from our minds, or whether they are the parts and the cessation and so forth that we need to attain, we need to see them within the perspective of the understanding that they do have some appearance, but then they lack any true or objective existence, and therefore they are like illusion. And so we need to see the false nature of things, the appearance nature, and then we need to also go beyond that and see the reality. And so see, not just satisfy ourselves with the appearance, but we need to see that they do not have any true existence in them. And so accordingly, when we do our practices, we need to do them within this understanding of the things being like an illusion. And so especially now here we are talking about understanding emptiness. And so when you understand emptiness, what you understand is that things do not have any objective existence. Although this grasping at true existence sees some objective independent existence in things, because of which we are bound in samsara, when you see emptiness, you see the true existence of things. And therefore, when you see that things do not exist the way they appear to us, but they are empty of inherent or a true existence, then you would see that there is an possibility to overcome these delusions that are within ourselves, that the grasping at true existence is something that is distorted, and therefore that it can be ended, and therefore you will have this wish or the aspiration to overcome it, and you will have the aspiration to reach liberation, and genuine aspiration to reach liberation, because of seeing the possibility of ending this true grasping at true existence in things. And therefore, understanding emptiness really helps us to exert ourselves to reach liberation without clinging to any true existence at all. And therefore, and then the next verse number 6 says, both samsara and nirvana, neither of these two exist. And so what this means is that we need to see that they do not have true existence, objective existence. And then when you see some emptiness, the mind is absorbed in emptiness, then there's some, for example, emptiness of samsara, with the object itself, the samsara does not appear to it, and but the emptiness alone will appear to the mind. And therefore it says that the thorough understanding of cyclic existence, this is referred to as nirvana.
So number jigbe goju ji duje yongsu shebe minis. Ta duje kandabe kengi, ta kengi dube che di rangshin xie ni tingmondu juba zangge, la eni ten tingmondu juba la nyangdesin sikma res. Pungu lhamwe tu, pe meson chi. Ta dirish kukuris laba yina. Ti liyane ya, ona teni sulu musum gyurus. 강사 강도 다것이 풍문가들이 풍문가 상회도 봐 가송이나 일단 최신 다시자심도 뜻이 아니 풍부배 매소나 대르드는 다고 다디 샤도고 말봐 그래서 남시 매나 남시 줄드는 다고 다 용신 샤도고 말봐 저 드디어 인도산에 대대병 고보대 수용문도 제발했어 그래서 가서 우리 그게 고봉문도 생애가 가사 예배증라 고봐도 매매체 고봉문도 예배증라 가사도 매매체 맞더니 되는 술은 무슨 줄 시시바디 치던 줄었어 다들 아니 기부근식이 아니 간다배 풍속이 아니 식배했던 고봉문도 예배증라 이니 시험이 누가 왔어 디스원다 응? 요리
Verse number 7 and 8. And so verse number 7 says, just as cessation is imputed on the disintegration of an arisen entity, so too the sublime ones accept cessation that is illusion-like. And so here some opponent's view is raised and set up, and it says that things, of course, things which come from causal conditions arise through causal conditions, and then they actually cease and go into they cease, and therefore this shows that there is a change, momentary change in the things. And there is from the Madhyamaka point of view, there is a subtle way of seeing how things exist, how things arise and how things go out of existence and so forth, and by understanding that they merely come through causal conditions and that they do not have any true existence in them as such. And then verse number 8 it says things cease due to utter destruction, but not due to understanding their conditioned nature. And so this seems to be raising some setting up some argument from an opponent. And then the verse number 3 and 4 are talking about how when somebody attains nirvana, of course they say, the certain schools say that at the time when someone attains what the nirvana, which is known as nirvana without residue, and all the psychophysical aggregates cease to exist. Therefore, the Madhyamakas are saying that when at that time, if even the consciousness of the person has ceased and gone out of existence, then what is there, or who is there who attains nirvana? And so the question is, when we talk about attaining nirvana, I mean, there must be something that should be attained. But then when the attainment is there, there is no the attainer of that nirvana, whereas when the attainer is not there, I mean, we still talk about the attainment itself. And so if all the psychophysical aggregates kind of come go out of existence, then there couldn't be anything that can anyone who can attain nirvana as such. And so it says things, therefore it says, to whom will this be evident? How can destruction be possible?